Are you ready to become a better version of yourself, to become a leader in your personal and professional life? Then welcome to the CJ Evolution Podcast, where we put a twist on traditional criminal justice professions and provide you with the tools you need to set yourself up for success in your career and for the future. Now, welcome your host, the CJ Evolutionist himself, Patrick Fitzgibbons.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back. Patrick here, host and creator of the top-ranked Criminal Justice Evolution podcast. Top-ranked because of you, the listener and supporter. Thank you so much for sharing it with your family and friends. If you have a moment, and I hope you do, head over to Apple Podcasts, give us that 5-star rating and review. We sure would appreciate it. And subscribe to the show. That way you'll get all the new shows on your phone as soon as I push them out. Big shout out to all the brave men and women out there working in the criminal justice field, whatever you were doing, wherever you were at. Thank you for doing it. Remember, you are honored, cherished, and above all, you are loved. You're going to love my next guest. Matt Barrera is a patrol officer in the Bay Area. He's also a veteran of the United States Marine Corps, serving his country honorably for many years, taking that experience and bringing it to the law enforcement profession. You're going to love this show. A lot of things we're going to talk about, leadership, some problems facing law enforcement, and more importantly, some solutions. But first, a word from our sponsors.
I represent low-cost airlines, and we know a lot of you are not traveling right now, and we understand. However, if you do need to travel between now and the end of the year, now is a great time to lock in some of the lowest prices we've seen in a lifetime. Hey, in normal times, we can save you up to 75%, but now airlines are practically giving away seats. We have inside deals on over 500 airlines. Here are a few sample round-trip deals we found. Seattle to Vegas, $35. Chicago to Atlanta, $85. Los Angeles to Atlanta, $100. Of course, there are some limitations, but the airlines want your business right now. And cancellation and change fees are flexible. So fly somewhere this year, book now, save a ton, call right now.
800-296-1337. 800-296-1337. 800-296-1337. 800-296-1337.
You know, it's such an honor to be partnered with a great company like Detecticom. This amazing and innovative company is helping keep our brave men and women who protect us every day safer by offering mobile threat detection that fits in the palm of your hand, detecting illicit drugs, explosives, now COVID-19. This application-based technology is a must-have for any organization. And you can find out more about Detecticom at cjevolution.com. See their link and see how they can help keep your troops safer. For all you first responders out there, if you love coffee, and I know a lot of you do, you're going to love the products from Four Sigmatic. Everything from coffees to elixirs to cocos, they have it all. I don't start a day without my Lion's Mane mushroom coffee. You're going to love their products. Head over to cjevolution.com, see the link to Four Sigmatic, and best of all, you're going to get 15% off of your purchases using the promo code CJEVO. Enjoy. On to this great show with Patrol Officer Matt Barrera. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. I'm super excited to have my next guest on the show. So excited. Matt Barrera. He's a law enforcement officer in the Bay Area, and I am so glad he's here. Brother, you there?
I'm here.
Well, thank you for coming on the show, Matt. I appreciate it. And like I indicated, you're an officer in the Bay Area. I want to get into a little bit of your military background because you served this great country. Thank you for your service, brother. I appreciate it on both ends. And why did you get into the military, brother? What was the catalyst? I always ask Leos and veterans that come on the show, what made you join the military?
Thanks for having me, man. I really appreciate it.
Of course, bro. Of course.
Appreciate what you do, and thank you for your service. Regarding the military, I'm not going to blow smoke and act like, hey, this is a lifelong dream or I have some family history of heroes or anything like that. I just didn't want to go to college.
I love the honesty,
I'll
man.
I'll be as honest as humanly possible. You know, after high school, it's not like I was dumb or anything like that. I didn't have the drive in high school. I didn't have the drive to go to college. And, on a different note,
deep down, I always wanted to be better than what I was doing, if that makes any sense. Like I knew I had it in me to do better than what I was doing in high school. I just didn't have the discipline to do it. And that's overall what caused me to join the Marine Corps, or what led me to the Marine Corps was, you know what? I know I have it within me. I just don't have the discipline to make it happen. And I think if anybody can make you have the discipline to do anything, it's Marine Corps boot camp. So,
well, and
so that was it, man.
But let's talk a little bit about the Marine Corps. You excelled, dude, in the Marine Corps. You went to a grade or a rank that was normally achieved after 7 to 10 years in service. You achieved the rank of staff sergeant within 6 years. That's pretty kick-ass, dude. So you were rocking it in the Corps.
You know, I was fortunate, man. I was fortunate to have some good leadership. As far as a timeline, there was a couple schools that I missed out on the initial invasion, unfortunately. I was in a training unit. I was doing some I was down at the range at MCRD teaching recruits. And then the war kicked off. And I was all upset, you know, having missed out. But, you know, it actually gave me a solid opportunity because the training unit that I was in offered a couple schools that normally I wouldn't have had an opportunity to go to. So one of them being a Ranger school, I ended up going to Army Ranger school. And that kind of excelled a lot of things for me, believe it or not, even though it was in the Marine Corps. So coming back tabbed moved a lot of doors for me. And eventually I got back out to the, you know, in the back to the fleet and overseas and had some good times.
Yeah. And that, a lot of that I know is leadership, brother, but a lot of it is intrinsic. You know that some people have that drive. Some people, you know, don't. So again, commend you for your service, brother. Operation Freedom, Operation Iraqi Freedom. You were honored with the Navy Commendation Medal with a Combat V for valor under fire. Jeez, dude, you're like, you're a hero.
I'll never claim it, man, but I appreciate it.
So what advice, brother, would you give for people that said, hey, Matt, you know, I want to join the Marine Corps or any branch of the service. What advice would you give a young person today?
I'd say do it, you know, I would absolutely 100% say do it. I have kids, one of them being old enough to join the military service, and her and I have actually been speaking about it recently. Awesome. I would like to be as big of an advocate for the military as humanly possible, but you really have to dive into it a little bit more other than somebody like me saying, yeah, Marine Corps infantry sounds like an awesome idea. Let's do it without doing any homework whatsoever.
Absolutely.
It ended up working in my favor, but I know some people that I served with that they hated it. They hated every minute of it and could not wait for those 4 years to be up, you know? Yeah. So do your homework a little bit and understand that just because you join the military, you're not just going to go overseas and kick doors and be in Iraq for 18 months. You know, there's different aspects of the military. You know, there's so many benefits to the military, whether it's education, whether it's just developing life skills overall, that the average person just doesn't really understand because all they see is the news or all they play is Call of Duty or whatever they're doing. But you have to do your homework a little bit and talk to people that have actually been in the military and served with multiple branches and don't just listen to the recruiter because recruiters recruit. That's what they do. You know, they're trying to sell it. So do your homework. And I would absolutely say 100%.
Yeah. I did that with my son. He's in the Air Force now. And we had a long discussion. Cool. I was in the Army and I was with the 82nd down at Fort Bragg. And I remember over a year ago, he wanted, you know, he just out of the blue. I mean, I've never pushed the military on him, nor would I, but he just asked me one day, he said, hey dad, you know, what do you think about the military? I was like, well, you know, I had a great time in the military, love what I did. Because he was talking, he wanted to go to recruiters. I said, absolutely, whatever you want. But he ended up picking the Air Force. And I'm glad he did because now he's in Space Force, which
that is so cool.
Bring up Space Force a couple of years ago, probably people would have laughed at you. Now it's like cutting edge stuff. Yeah. But I'm very proud of him. But Yeah, to your point, there's more to the military, brother, about than just kicking in doors and, you know, blowing shit up. I mean, it's there's so many different avenues. So I'm like you, I would encourage any young person to go and serve their country.
Absolutely. You know, even if it's on a reserve status, I don't care if it's California Air National Guard, you know, just they're you're going to develop skills that you won't develop just going from high school to college, yeah. You know. So,
yeah. Well, yeah, that's cool, man. That's cool. So you serve honorably in the Marine Corps. You get out. What did you know immediately that your path was going to be law enforcement?
No, I didn't actually. I spent another almost 6 years going back overseas with the State Department as a contractor. Mm-hmm. I don't know what's wrong with me, but for some reason I just wanted to keep going back overseas.
Well, it gets in your blood, dude. I mean, yeah, they throw that money at you. They throw that jobs of money at you.
Well, you know, I hear that a lot, but that money was relative, man. Like I was fortunate enough to have a contract where I was just 2 months on, 2 months off.
Oh, cool.
So it wasn't too bad, you know, but again, that money's relative to how much you're working. It's not like you're getting benefits and stuff like that. So, I knew some dudes that were definitely killing it, but they were deploying for 6 months at a time, yeah, then spending 2 weeks in Thailand and then going back.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good
another
point.
6 months. But yeah. So after I got done contracting was done with me, I should say, because eventually, going back and forth overseas is not necessarily conducive to family life,
yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
So you've got to make decisions and you've got to be the bigger person and be a little bit less selfish with your own personal goals. Mm-hmm. And law enforcement was somewhat on my radar. Again, I'm not going to pretend to have a whole bunch of law enforcement in my family or, you know, I wanted to protect and serve or anything like that, which I do. I've always had a self kind of a desire to be part of something bigger and mm-hmm. to serve others and just to be better, just to help out, you know?
Yeah.
So my brother-in-law was a law enforcement in the Bay Area. And one day, he was like, hey man, I was in between deployments, and he said, just come on a ride along. And he was part of a gang intelligence unit at the time. He was like, just come out, hang out with the guys, see what it is, see what it's like. And I went out and it was almost immediate. Like, I was like, yeah, I could absolutely do this. This looks like a good time, you know? and obviously he had been a cop for quite a while at that point, and I'm well aware I'd have to go to the academy and stuff like that and do what you got to do to get where you want to be. But that was about it right there. That's all I needed to see was that one ride along, and it was good times.
Well, and it was a natural progression from the military going into a paramilitary organization like law enforcement. Cause to me, I was used to, you know, like you probably were, rank, structure, chain of command, all that stuff. So it was a natural progression for me.
Yeah, absolutely. That, the structure of it and the camaraderie is what probably hooked, you know, hook, line, and sinker right away, especially with my brother-in-law's unit that I did the ride along with. As soon as I got there, you know, they're just BSing with each other, making fun of each other, talking shit back and forth. So hey, I recognize this culture. Yeah, I can speak the same language. Let's do this.
That's awesome. So a lot of specialties, SWAT team, you know, county gang force task member, crisis intervention, response team. You're done it all, brother. And you keep doing it all. That's amazing. Thank you.
No, it's whatever I can do to kind of, you know, progress. Or I think the most fun thing that I've done recently is a mobile field force with all the riots that we've been having.
Oh, geez.
So it was mobile. So you're going to any, and again, I'm in the Bay Area. So any major city that is calling for, you know,
mutual aid
and additional units and stuff. So we're all in code 3, you know, 30 cars deep from one city to the next in the Bay Area. That was a great time.
Yeah. So that's a good segue into the next question I have for you, brother. So, I mean, you're on the front line again. Thank you. What is the tone? I mean, I have an idea, but can you tell the audience what's the tone in law enforcement right now from somebody who's on the front line? What's going on?
You know, it's, I don't think it's any secret. We're going through some tough times, man. We're just taking, it just seems like we're just taking hit after hit, whether it's, a riot or city admin wanting to defund us or anything like that. It seems like we just can't win. So the attitude amongst individual officers, or line level anyways, out there is sometimes unfortunate because, you know, we do what we can, go and call to call and stuff. But the overall dynamic and the overall attitude is almost like, okay, well, if you, you know, you want to defund me, we're out here risking our lives on a daily basis. You want to defund me, or you're looking at the media and it's all just bad cop, bad cop, bad cop. Unfortunately, it causes a lot of police officers to want to play firemen, you know, and I don't have anything against firemen, but let's face it, they sit around and they're not proactively looking for fires.
Yeah.
So proactive police work is just kind of spiraling right now because there's a lot of cops afraid to get into an incident that's going to make them a national.
On the front page.
Nobody wants to be on the front page. You know, you want to do your job. You want to do it to the best of your ability. But nobody wants to be on that front page and be that guy.
Yeah.
That's being indicted, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's sad, Matt, because I talk about this a lot on my show. I really do believe, and maybe I'm just naive, but I really do believe that majority of people out there, I don't care where you're at, support law enforcement. I just wish they were more vocal about their support, because I've never seen it, dude. And I did it for 23 years and I've never seen it this bad. Again, I think the majority of people are, you know, supporters, but they're too afraid to say anything now.
Yeah, that's the unfortunate part is I'm in 100% agreement with you is mm-hmm. I believe the majority of the United States and the majority of society in general supports, you know, not to use a political term these days, but they support law and order. They want safety. You know, who doesn't want safety? You know, I mean, it makes sense. It's just our basic rights is to go outside and be safe in your own environment. And if you don't have that, it's chaos. And you see it in the big cities that are wanting to defund us. So I agree. I think, unfortunately, it is a silent majority. And, you know, the silent minority or the overwhelming screaming minority, they're just so loud. They just overwhelm everything else. And it's better for the media to display that rather than, you know, the good deeds that we do every day.
Yeah, and you know that the communities, you know, the people that are screaming defund and get rid of cops, some of these communities need the cops more than other communities. You know what I mean? So for the wealthy people out there, and you've probably seen it, I mean, they got private security details. They live in gated communities. They live in nice neighborhoods. They're not really, I'm not saying they're not struggling with crime, but you get into some of these urban areas where crime is rampant. Those are the areas that need the cops the most.
No, absolutely. It's funny that you mentioned that, like a place like Minneapolis, you know, screaming defund the police 1 month. And then the next month they're wondering why their crime rates and murder rates and shootings are skyrocketing. It's like, I don't know what the disconnect is, but they just don't see a correlation from one to the next. It's kind of mind blowing sometimes.
Do you think, brother, I mean, again, because I talk to a lot of people and you're in the business, but I think a lot of people have told me their biggest frustration or one of their frustrations is they don't feel like admin or the brass has their back, or, you know what I mean? They're not protecting them like they should. What are your thoughts on that? I'm not trying to put you on the spot with your agency. I'm not saying your agency. I'm just saying in general.
No, not at all. And unfortunately, I think that's something that's kind of been blasted all over media and social media also is there are these cities that are putting their officers on blast. Something I heard from a buddy of mine, he's a lawyer, a few weeks ago, is any city would rather have a dead officer than another Ferguson.
Jeez.
And that's unfortunate, but it's correct. It's like nobody wants their city to burn to the ground. They would rather have a dead cop. So it's like they're promoting these things just to appease the masses. And it's really unfortunate. And thankfully, I personally have not had very many incidents with the administration not supporting actions taken by fellow officers and my officers and stuff like that. But there is that thought in the back of your mind. It's like, okay, if there is an incident that happens that actually makes national news or even local major news, would they back me? Would they actually back me? So that's absolutely a thought that goes in your back of your mind. And it's unfortunate.
I was going to say, I never thought we would be in an environment where, and I understand there's good leadership and bad leadership, but I never thought we would be in an environment where we're second guessing whether or not, you know, an action we take on the street is going to be, you know, a career ending thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's just crazy.
And a lot of times, you know, not speaking in hypothetical terms, a lot of these things that are happening that are being televised, nobody's backing the officers. You know, guilty before proven innocent. And a lot of these things are 100% justified.
Yeah.
And they're just getting burned at the stake for it.
Well, we live in this, you know, again, you know, I'm preaching to the choir. I mean, somebody sees a video and without waiting until all the evidence, and we've seen that in numerous cases this year, without waiting like we used to do in investigations, with kind of giving the officer the benefit of the doubt, you know, waiting for all the evidence to come in, that it seems to fall by the wayside now. It seems out the window right now.
It's pretty unfortunate. But
there's not an officer out there. Well, I shouldn't say that. I know a few that I talk to that are like, yes, we'll get through this. But I got to tell you, brother, the overwhelming majority of cops I know are looking for an exit ramp.
You know what? I do know a lot of cops that are looking for exits, but I understand that to a certain extent. But my belief is we will pull out of this. We're going to pull out of it. Everything's cyclical. You know, if you look at history, there was bad parts of the 80s, bad parts of the 90s. We have the Rodney King riots and things like that. It's never been as bad as it is right now. But we're going to pull out of it, and it's going to be on the individual officers. Because the individual officers, that line level staff, it's like, you know, Lance Corporals are the backbone of the Marine Corps. you got your line level staff that are going out there every day, and it's their momentum and it's their camaraderie that's going to drive these departments to say, hey, you know what, these guys are solid and we need to back them. So I think it's going to be based on the individual officer and that group camaraderie that's going to hold everybody together.
Yeah, it's those change agents that you know, within an organization, you've probably heard it. It doesn't have to come from the top. Sometimes it's the line level, obviously, like you said, the ones that are doing all the work, and I agree with you, they're the ones with the real power. If you don't convince them, if you don't sway them, if they got a lot of power to make change within an organization, because they're doing all the work. I'm not saying, I know what some people are thinking, if you're a chief out there, I'm not saying you're not working, but you know what I mean? The patrol is the backbone of any organization.
No, absolutely. You know, and unfortunately, like, I don't have any problems with people being chiefs, obviously, but I think when it comes to admin, there's a lot of push, especially during now with recruitment, just because nobody wants to be a cop these days. There's a lot of push towards recruitment, and then there's a lot of push about retirements and people getting out. And I think somewhere in between that leadership almost loses focus of the patrol people and of those, like, you know, 10-year officers that have been there pushing it and leading the younger street teams, whether you're an FTO or not. It's almost gets lost in the middle of recruiting and retirement. Mm-hmm. So, and again, like you said, that's the backbone of your organization, is those patrols, the ones that are doing it every day, go out there on midnights, dealing with domestic violence, dealing with homicides. So,
So if somebody came to you right now, brother, kind of the same question I had from the military, but from a law enforcement point or side of it, if somebody came to you and said, "Hey, Matt, I want to be a cop," what advice would you give them?
I'm actually in that situation right now. A nephew of mine, he was looking at being a firefighter, and then he started talking to me about being a police officer. And I would never dissuade anybody from doing what they want to do. But the one piece of advice that I have from him, and I'm grateful for having done it myself, not knowing which direction I was going to go anyways, having life experience before you go. That life experience is invaluable as a police officer. And I'm not saying that you can't do it straight out of college as a 22, 21 year old, person, but there's something to be said about, you know, going overseas or being in, an extremely diverse environment like the military and getting these different types of life skills. Mm-hmm. And then having that kind of drive you in certain calls and in certain situations that you're going to be in law enforcement. And if you don't have that life experience first, it's there's a lot of stuff that's going to hit you a little bit harder than it would have had you not had it, if that makes sense.
No, it makes perfect sense. And I agree with you. I love it because it gives you that backbone, you know, that gives you that, you know, backbone of, you know, going through that, those life experiences, because you're right. I mean, I'm not knocking people who go to college and want to be cops right away. I'm
no, just, not at all.
But you make a great point of having a little bit of life experience behind you. If I could just piggyback on that, I would say it, when you do decide to get into law enforcement, align yourself with the right officers. Somebody like Matt, who has that great resilient attitude. We all know it, brother. In the profession, there's people that shouldn't be there with bad attitudes, toxic attitudes. So I always used to tell recruits when I go talk to them in the academy, align yourself with the good officers. I'm not saying, you know, the officers, I'm just talking about the attitude, you know, the positivity, the, you know, the guys that come to work every day with that, you know, that I'm going to go kick some butt today. I'm not talking about beating people, but do a good job. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
You know that. I mean, there's good cops, and there's rods, there's retired on duty. You know that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cops that are just, you know, punching a clock, you know, that aren't really doing
anything. Those guys can just be they can be a cancer to that patrol team. They can be a cancer to that side of the week. You know, it really does only take that one bad apple. And you're absolutely right. If you can just kind of pull those guys aside, and I'm not saying, you know, kind of talk shit about your fellow officers or anything like that. But, you know, if you see somebody going down that wrong path and like a younger officer acting like an officer, just kind of disregarding this and disregarding that and being jaded at 23 years old, just out of the academy, that's a problem.
Yeah.
Well, and that's, you know, so that you have to pull those guys aside and say, hey, man, like, get it together.
Absolutely. And that's why I was fanatical with the people who were in FTO positions, because those people have so much influence on a young officer. And I remember having really, really good FTOs. And then I had a couple FTOs or one FTO in particular that was shit. And he had such a horrible attitude. And it's like, I'm a young impressionable cop. Now I got to deal with that. And is that how it's going to be for the next, because this guy makes it sound like it's doom and gloom. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I
so
know
those,
exactly
it's, there's sort of critical roles, and your sergeants, you know, your street supervisors, you know, are so important to have the right people in those roles, but you don't have to have rank to be a leader. You know that?
No, absolutely not. Yeah. And that's, if I could just backtrack a little bit to the military side of the house, it was that, because in the military you have you're just inundated with different styles of leadership. Obviously, this is the second you get in there, your drill instructors, and then you get out to the fleet, and then you've got your lance corporals, their smaller unit leadership. And I think that's almost one thing that's missing in law enforcement coming out of the military is that small unit style leadership. Mm-hmm. And I think more agencies should start to adopt like maybe corporal positions or something like that through the ranks, rather than just, hey, I've been on patrol for 10 years, almost worried about my own career, almost worried about my own progress as a police officer, but now I'm going to take this sergeant's test without any kind of leadership in between that. Yeah. So I think like you said, that the FTO positions are crucial. And that's what helped me out along the way, is being exposed to so many different leadership styles. I can kind of take the good from the good, and do away with the bad and just kind of drive on from there, you know?
Yeah. Such great advice. Matt, if you could change one thing right now in the law enforcement profession, what would you change?
Oh, dang, man. That's a good question. One thing in the law enforcement profession.
Yeah, just one thing. Just
you know what? What I just said, I think would help out a lot, is a lot of smaller unit leadership when it comes to law enforcement, and a lot less ego, I think.
Yeah.
I think ego is kind of something that really puts a bad taste in the mouth as far as just cops in general and the general public. There's a lot of ego out there, and people talk at people versus with people or to people. So I think those communication skills could use a little work, but I think a lot of that has to do with a lack of small unit leadership. So I think I'd sprinkle a little bit of that in there if I could change anything right now.
That's awesome. Matt Barrera, brother, thank you so much for coming on the show. I'd love to have you back on down the road. A lot of insight, a lot of experience, life experience. Thank you for your military service, brother. Thank you for serving in law enforcement and having that great attitude, brother. We need more of it.
I appreciate it, man. Thank you very much for your time. I appreciate it.
All right, Matt. Take care.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the CJ Evolution Podcast. For more strategies for self-improvement and resources based on today's episode, be sure to head to cjevolution.com. You can also connect to Patrick directly on social media at @Pat_Fitzgibbons with any questions, comments, or concerns. We look forward to helping you find more personal success on the next episode of the CJ Evolution Podcast.